The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 4, text number 35. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on November 12th, 2012, in Helsinki, Finland.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yajgatvana punarmoham evam yashashivandava yena bhutan yasheshani dakshasha atmanyatomayi. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. Purport. The result of receiving knowledge from a self-realized soul, or one who knows things as they are, is learning that all living beings are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. The sense of an existence separate from Krishna is called maya, ma, not, ya, this. Some think that we have nothing to do with Krishna, that Krishna is only a great historical personality and that the absolute is the impersonal Brahman. Factually, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, this impersonal Brahman is the personal effulgence of Krishna. Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the cause of everything. In the Brahma Samhita, it is clearly stated that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. Even the millions of incarnations are only His different expansions. Similarly, the living entities are also expansions of Krishna. The mind-body philosophers wrongly think that Krishna loses His own separate existence in His many expansions. This thought is material in nature. We have experienced in the material world that a thing, when fragmentally distributed, loses its own original identity. But the mind-body philosophers fail to understand that absolute means that 1 plus 1 is equal to 1, and that 1 minus 1 is also equal to 1. This is the case in the absolute world. For want of sufficient knowledge in the absolute science, we are now covered with illusion, and therefore we think that we are separate from Krishna. Although we are separated parts of Krishna, we are nevertheless not different from Him. The bodily difference of the living entities is maya, or not actual fact. We are all meant to satisfy Krishna. By maya alone, Arjuna thought that the temporary bodily relationship with his kinsman was more important than his eternal spiritual relationship with Krishna. The whole teaching of the Gita is targeted toward this end, that a living being, as Krishna's eternal servitor, cannot be separated from Krishna, and his sense of being an identity apart from Krishna is called maya. The living entities, as separate parts and parcels of the Supreme, have a purpose to fulfill. Having forgotten that purpose since time immemorial, they are situated in different bodies as men, animals, demigods, etc. Such bodily differences arise from forgetfulness of the transcendental service of the Lord. But When one is engaged in transcendental service through Krishna consciousness, one becomes at once liberated from this illusion. One can acquire such pure knowledge only from the bona fide spiritual master and thereby avoid the delusion that the living entity is equal to Krishna. Perfect knowledge is that the Supreme Soul of Krishna is the supreme shelter for all living entities. And giving up such shelter, the living entities are deluded by the material energy, imagining themselves to have a separate identity. Thus, under different standards of material identity, they become forgetful of Krishna. When, however, such deluded living beings become situated in Krishna consciousness, it is to be understood that they are on the path of liberation, as confirmed in the Bhagavatam 2.10.6. Muktir hitvanyata rupang svarupena vyavastatihi. Liberation means to be situated in one's constitutional position as an eternal servitor of Krishna, Krishna consciousness. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapara Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. The verse begins, having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul. So I'm just seeing Srila Prabhupada sitting there so majestically on his Vyasasana, feeling so grateful, you see, that Prabhupada has given us this knowledge. Krishna continues that having gotten this knowledge from the self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. This is the power of the words of the bona fide spiritual master. If one takes them to heart, you see, if one hears from the bona fide spiritual master, and he takes those words very seriously, and what is the result? He will never fall again into illusion. This is the great power of Shuddha Brahman, transcendental sound vibration. This Shabda Brahman, or transcendental sound vibration, it is coming in the system of the siptic succession. Evam parampara praptam imam rajashayo vidu sakalineha nahata yoga nashta parantapa. This knowledge was thus received in the chain of the siptic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and thus the science, as it is, appears to be lost. So Krishna is making it very clear we have to hear this knowledge through the bona fide system of the siddhic succession. Krishna is the original propounder of this knowledge. He revealed it to Brahmaji, who revealed it to Naradaji, who revealed it to Srila Vyasadeva, who revealed it to Madhvacharya. In this way, it has come down to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, to the great Acharyas. Narottam Das is there, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is there, Bhaktivinod Thakur is there, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And our most beloved is Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. You see. In this way, the knowledge is coming perfectly. We have to then receive it perfectly, in full submission, you see, without any speculation. In full submission, we have to hear that knowledge, you see. And with service also, this knowledge is not simply some intellectual gymnastics. And this knowledge has to be realized in the heart, and that realization comes to the degree that we surrender ourselves to the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So, if we will dedicate ourselves, you see, that's how we realize. To whatever extent we actually dedicate ourselves to the spiritual master, to that extent we will realize, you see. You can't go beyond that. Only insofar as we surrender can we actually realize what is this knowledge, you see. Ye yatamang prabhajyante tangstataya bhajamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, to that degree I reward them. So we have, each one of us has to decide, how much reward would I like? Would I like a little reward? Or like medium reward, or they want full unlimited reward, you see. However much reward we want, that's how much we should surrender to Krishna. You see. You want full reward? Then fully surrender. That surrender is not a very difficult thing. We all have tongues, don't we? Just like I'm vibrating my tongue now, you see. We all have tongues. We like to vibrate, talk, 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 talk. It's like the birds chirp. Human beings like to talk, 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 talk. The birds get together and chirp, and the humans get together and they chirp, 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 chirp. It's our nature. We like to get together and chirp, 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 chirp. You see? So, if we will chirp nonsense, we become nonsense. If we chirp about Krishna, we become Krishnaized. You see? Takshi Krishna Nama Adi. Nabhavet grayam indriyai sevon mukhe jivado svayam evas padachyadaha. It is not possible to understand the transcendental name, fame, forms, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, etc., etc., etc. The amazing personality known as Krishna, with one's blunt, materially contaminated senses. You can't do it. It's not possible. You cannot do it. Krishna is too far beyond us. With our little teeny brains, he's way beyond, you see. But Rupa Goswami says, but if one will Krishnaize himself, he will become spiritually saturated by engaging himself in the devotional service of the Lord. How? Jivado, beginning with the tongue. You see. Then he can actually realize the transcendental name, fame, forms, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, etc., etc., etc. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can actually realize God. You don't have to go to the Himalayas and do mystic yoga, live in a cave, doing pranayama, drilling the respiration, or meditating on the non-differentiated Brahman by process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands and millions of years. You don't have to do that. Not required. All you have to do is take that little tongue, taste prasad and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Doesn't make any big expense. You don't have to travel anywhere. You can chant Hare Krishna anywhere. You can take some nice vegetarian foods. Anywhere you can make an offering to Krishna. Anywhere you want. You can go to the South Pacific, you can go to Lapland, anywhere you can go, you see. You can offer some food to Krishna, you can vibrate Hare Krishna mantra. It's not a difficult thing, you see. But because they are so proud, they refuse to bow down to anyone. I don't bow down to anybody. This is the foolishness, you see. They don't want to surrender to anybody. I am great. I don't need to bow down to anyone. It's sheer foolishness. It's idiocy. It's stupendously stupid not to surrender to Krishna. I mean, why? They think they can defy God, actually. This rascal, Dr. Stephen Hawking, did you hear that video? He says, I'm quoting him. He said, now we've finally discovered that we've come to the greatest discovery we've made now, that the universe comes out of absolutely nothing. I actually did an experiment when I was in Malaysia. We did a little scientific experiment to see if we could check out his theory, if everything came out of nothing. What I did was, we were staying in one. My disciples gave me an apartment there because the temple didn't have any facilities. So we had a stove there in the apartment, and I had an empty pot. So I turned on the stove, I took the empty pot, and I put it on the stove. I was shaking it around. Come on, pop, pop, pop. No popcorn would come out, you see. We didn't even try to get the whole universe. We just tried to get a little popcorn out of an empty pot, you know. We couldn't even get popcorn out of an empty pot, so I knew that Stephen Hawking was a joker, you know. You can't even get popcorn out of an empty pot. And he says we can get the whole universe out of nothing. Now, science means observation and experiment, doesn't it? If you have a theory, you have to have experiments to prove your theory. Where is the experiment where you can get something out of nothing? Has it ever been done in the history of science that you can get something out of nothing? Has any scientist ever done it? It's never been done. They've never gotten anything out of nothing. And this fool, this rascal, he says the whole universe has come out of nothing, and they applaud him as the greatest scientist in the whole history of science. Just see how crazy the modern civilization is. They've gone mad. They've gone crazy by this sense gratification. They have no brains. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, dvipada pashu, two-legged animal. And they become old and invalid, they become tripada shvashu, with a cane, you see. That's a third, three-legged animal, you see. So we have a choice, ladies and gentlemen. We can be animals or we can be human beings. What do you want to be? Do you want to be an animal or do you want to be a human being? You see. It's your choice. You can remain an animal, simply gratifying your tongue and your genitals and your false ego. Or you can actually become an enlightened spiritual being by taking up the path of the great Paramahamsas, the great liberated souls, you see, as taught by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj, the greatest spiritual master in the history of the universe. Why do I say that? Is that I'm biased because I'm his disciple? No. I'm speaking objectively. There are many great, all the spiritual masters are the greatest transcendentalists. But this particular spiritual master is the one chosen by Krishna especially to spread this science all over the world. It was contained within India for all these thousands of years. It's always remained in India. It never left India. Even Lord Chaitanya could have spread it outside of India, but he did not do so because he wanted this one very special devotee, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, to be that devotee who would get the credit for having spread Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, you see. This Srila Prabhupada is a very, very, very special devotee. He's not an ordinary guru, you see. He is called Prabhupada. You see, he is not an ordinary Prabhu or master. He is the Prabhupada, the master at whose feet all the masters sit. You see, all the masters All the bona fide masters, they bow down to the Prabhupada, the master of all the masters, you see, Srila Prabhupada. So, ladies and gentlemen, I just can't begin to calculate what is the good fortune that we have received. That somehow we got this shelter under Prabhupada's lotus feet. I just can't even begin to calculate what is the extent of our good fortune. If we could count every single diamond, ruby, and pearl in the treasury of Kuvera, you see, the treasury of the demigods, we still could not even begin to calculate our good fortune having gotten the shelter of Prabhupada's lotus feet. We could not begin to come anywhere near to calculate our good fortune having gotten the shelter of the lotus feet of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Every word, every purport, everything about Srila Prabhupada is simply emanating the highest bliss, the highest knowledge, the highest compassion. Everything, every word, every gesture of His hand, every movement of His lips, every movement of His eyes, everything about Prabhupada is just pure bhakti in practice. Pure communication of the absolute truth with everything. Where have we seen such a personality like Srila Prabhupada? Where have we seen such a person? Such persons are very, very rare in this world, you see. Very, very rare. Don't think he's dead and gone also. I have proof that Prabhupada is still here. You'd like to hear my proof? We were in Atlanta one time, Atlanta, Georgia, USA. There's a big festival they have there every year called the Panihati Festival. Actually, they named the place Balavanta Prabhu, the GBC at the time. He asked Prabhupada, can we name it New Panihati Dham? Because that Panihati Leela, if you've read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's really, really ecstatic Leela, you know. The Chidadadi Mahotsava Leela is very, very one of the most amazing, jubilant, joyous pastimes in the whole Chaitanya Leela. Amazing pastime. So, Balavanta Prabhu, very inspired by that festival in Panihati. Can we name it New Panihati? And Prabhupada gave his permission. So, every year they have this big chipped rice and yogurt festival. And devotees come from all over the world. And they auction off, they raise thousands of dollars. It's an auction. They bid off, you know, you bid to get your pot of chipped rice and yogurt. And they have all kinds, they're decorative in various ways. They're really beautiful. It's really a joyous occasion. But anyway, during the noon arti, this big festival, devotees have come from all over the world. And they have a wonderful full-size murti of Prabhupada. One of those murtis that looks like people walk in, they think it's actually... A guest walks in, they think, oh, your spiritual master sits very still. They think he's actually sitting there. It's that one of those, you know, full life-size murtis. So during the noon arti, when devotees were just singing and dancing with so much bhakti, the most amazing thing happened. Many of us saw it. We got Jai Pataka Swami, you brought him, he saw it. There's a tear coming down Prabhupada's right eye. Two tear was coming down his eye during the kirtan. And so we brought in Jai Pataka Swami and we stopped the regular kirtan and we had Guru Puja and Dhamada and the Guru, Samsara Dhavala, we sang the Gurvastakam prayers. We then offered Prabhupada Gurvastakam prayers to reciprocate that wonderful mercy he was showing us. You see, so actually Prabhupada is present. And we can experience Prabhupada's presence according to the degree of our surrender to his instructions, you see. We will feel his presence. So this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Actually, we are never separated from Krishna and these great personalities. We're not really separated, but we think we're separated, you see. Therefore, we become maddened by sense desires, you see. But when you actually realize that these great personalities, Krishna is present, these great personalities are present, if I just connect with their divine instructions, as Prabhupada says in the introduction to the Bhagavatam, He lives forever by his divine instructions, and his disciples live with him. If we can just connect with those instructions, then we will feel the presence of Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas, all the great acharyas, you see. We will not feel alone. We will never feel alone. So in this world, people become very lonely, they become very depressed. But there's no reason for them. There's no reason to feel lonely or depressed. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, is willing to reciprocate with you right now. Simply we have to come out of our little cocoon of selfishness, of false egoism, you know, of bodily consciousness. I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a Finn, I'm a Britisher, you see. We have to come out of this cocoon of bodily consciousness and come back to our actual identities as spiritual beings, eternal spiritual beings, qualitatively one with the Lord. If we will do this, if we'll put faith in these teachings and embrace them wholeheartedly, then we will no longer feel lonely or depressed in this world. We will feel uplifted, surcharged with bhakti, surcharged with bliss, surcharged with compassion at every minute. Does it sound too good to be true? What do you think? No, it's not too good to be true. You can do it. You can experience God at every minute. You can feel the presence of God at every minute. In fact, Prabhupada instructed, I just found it recently in the Veda base. It's like going through the Veda base is like looking, going through a gold mine. I mean, I found the most amazing quote from Prabhupada about how to chant japa. It was a letter to one of his lady disciples, Avalabhi Devi Dasi. He said, when you chant japa, feel the presence of Krishna. I was going, wow, that's really something. I never remember hearing that one before in ISKCON. When you chant japa, you should feel the presence of Krishna. And he said, if you can't do that, then fix your mind on the holy name. Fix your mind on the sound vibration. That's the second best thing, you see. If you can't feel the presence of Krishna, then fix your mind on the sound vibration. But you know what you're doing when you do that? You're actually fixing yourself on, fixing your mind on Krishna, because that sound vibration is Krishna. If the sound vibration is present, Krishna is present, right? Isn't it? When the sound vibration is present, Krishna is present, because that sound vibration is Krishna himself. Those two syllables, Krishna, are the personality of God himself. You see. Probably reading a purport yesterday in Lithuania, and Prabhupada is saying, he was talking about the holy name as he, not it. He, the holy name, he. The holy name is Krishna himself. You see. So when you're doing nama meditation, we just had a really great, we did a retreat, a nama retreat. We went out to the forest and all we did was talk about the holy name. We had about 7 hours of, I spoke for 7 hours in about four different sessions just on the holy name. It was so ecstatic. We studied about the holy name from the first canto, the holy name from the second canto, the holy name from the third canto. Everything we could ever want, everything we could possibly ever desire for all of eternity, it's all right there in those two syllables, Krishna. You see, everything you could ever want to experience, ever want to feel, ever want to have, ever want to taste, ever want to see, ever want to hear, ever want to touch, everything you could ever want in your wildest imagination for all of eternity, it's all right there in the two syllables, Krishna. Now that's powerful, you see. That is powerful. We just have to learn how to focus the brain on Krishna, you see. We have the initiates have the vow, 16 rounds of every day at least, of Krishna. Krishna japa, Hare Krishna japa meditation. If we will take our japa very seriously, take it as our most important activity every day, now is the time when I fine-tune my consciousness. Now is the time when I will directly associate with Krishna. You see, this is my own personal darshan with Krishna himself, you see. If we will take it very seriously, then our Krishna consciousness will just take off like a rocket. It will take off like a rocket. It will make tremendous advancement in Krishna consciousness. If we simply focus on the name, you see, during our japa period. And then after that incredible surchargement of the spiritual battery of the heart, then you can distribute so many books, you can collect funds for a new temple, everything will come. You can make devotees, you can, you know, do tremendous preaching just by quality nama meditation, that everything will come. Everything will come. By intensely absorbing the consciousness during our japa period on the name of Krishna. Understanding, now is my chance to have my own personal meeting with Krishna himself. You see. Everything will come. All auspiciousness will follow. Simply by taking this hearing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, is our most serious business, you see. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
I have feel myself many times when I chant do it faster so I can get to the service. So maybe I should wait till next life to be actually have a better body to be able to chant even better.
What's he saying?
He said that when he chants japa, sometimes he's hurrying so that he can get to his service. So he thinks maybe he has to wait until his next life before he can have a suitable body to really get into the chant.
No, you have a suitable body now, Prabhu. Now you have a suitable body. Along with the enthusiasm for service, which the active mode, you have to have the meditative mode also. They have to, just like a train runs on two tracks, you see. We have a tendency to act and do things. That's Rajagun, you see. But the meditative mode, Sattvagun, they have to do those simultaneously. So don't just be active. You also have to also be meditative. Because activity without meditativeness leads to burnout eventually. One loses taste. And one is not cultivating the inner development of Krishna consciousness. Activity will satisfy one for some time, but without that internal purification, that the happiness and the mode of passion, if you read in the Gita, it is nectar in the beginning and poison in the end. You see. But that meditative happiness, it's poison in the beginning, it's nectar in the end. That's sattvic happiness. So do both simultaneously. That will actually enhance the nectar you can taste in the service. You should really strive, even if you had to beat your mind with shoes every times in the morning, you know. You should really try to chant meditatively. With full absorption, not waiting until your next life, Prabhu. You should really try to do it now. Meditatively absorb yourself, you see. You'll be amazed how everything becomes a million times sweeter in your day's activities by doing them. You'll feel glad. You'll feel glad that you did. If you embrace the determination to have meditative japa, you'll be absolutely gratified beyond your wildest dreams, Prabhu. Okay, next question. Yes.
Prabhu, you were speaking about how we should surrender to Krishna, and by that then Krishna will reward us.
Mm.
But sometimes if we are new devotees, we tend to surrender in the mind only and not in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the difference between sentimental surrender and actual surrender of heart?
Yes. Some may think, yeah, I'm really surrendered. He's thinking, yes, I'm surrendered. It's like that devotee who wrote Prabhupada a letter. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I'm your most fallen disciple. Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. You're just insignificant. So, you know, we may imagine ourselves to be, you know, great advanced devotees, great transcendentalists, but that's in the mind only. You see. If one is actually advancing in Krishna consciousness, he will feel himself very lowly and very fallen. He won't think he's great. So one who is a great devotee in the mind, it means he hasn't really done it yet, but he's imagining that he's done it. The real surrender is when you actually give your heart to Krishna. Heart and soul completely absorbed in the service to the Lord, not just imagining yourself to be a great devotee in the mind. Yes?
How to increase enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness?
How to increase it?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, for myself, it's been, I've never had a problem with that because I got a direct order from Prabhupada. When I joined, there was one very, very special sannyasi who came to our town. His name was His Holiness Vishnujanaswami. He's a very, very enthusiastic devotee. Oh, if you would see him, you would just, it was amazing. He came to Austin with no money, no vehicle, no helpers. And in a few weeks, he had a temple building filled up with devotees. Can you imagine walking into town with no money and having a house in a few weeks filled up with devotees? I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable. So he was really into spreading Krishna consciousness. So I was very inspired by his desire to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So when I got initiated, I missed the cut for getting initiated when Prabhupada was in L.A. because I'd been in for 5 months instead of six. So I had to wait an extra month. But it was no problem because a month later, Vishnujanaswami sent a letter to Prabhupada in London recommending me. And so I got initiated by mail instead of in the actual, you know, Prabhupada actually being there. But it gave me a chance to send my, to write Prabhupada a letter when I sent, gave him my dakshina. So just handing in the dakshina, I get to write Prabhupada a letter, you know. And in this letter, I told Prabhupada I wanted to spread the Krishna consciousness movement because, you know, Vishnujan was doing that and I saw that he was, how enlivened he was, so I just said, Prabhupada, I want to spread this movement. And Prabhupada wrote me the most wonderful letter. He said, I can see that you're a very sincere, enthusiastic boy. He said, continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. Now, what is the disciple supposed to do with the spiritual master's order? It's some optional thing? Take it or leave it? No. Whatever order the spiritual master gives, the disciple has to embrace that order. It's his very life and soul. So Prabhupada gave me an order. He ordered me to always be enthusiastic with the guarantee that if I did so, Krishna would surely bless me. Well, did I try it? Sure, I did. I did that. I've been through many ups and downs in my career of 41 years in ISKCON. I've seen the good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly in this movement. But I've always maintained my enthusiasm in all circumstances because Prabhupada ordered me to do it, and he promised that Krishna would bless me, and you know what? He was right. Krishna has been blessing me. By maintaining this enthusiasm in all circumstances, Krishna has been showering his mercy on me for 41 years. So, if that's the deal. Do you want Krishna's blessings? Do you want Krishna's blessings? Huh? Do you want them?
Yes.
Then be fired up. Go out with some books and save the world. You know, do the aarti with great love and devotion. Cook an incredible feast that the demigods will come and want to eat it. You know, I mean, really just do everything. First class. Take care of Tulsi Devi so she becomes like a Vrindavan here, you see. Do everything first class. Learn the books. Dress nicely. Keep your ashram neat and clean. Keep the bathroom suchi. Everything. Make the just everything first class with great enthusiasm, you see. And you'll be amazed at how Krishna reciprocates. You'll be absolutely amazed, you see. So it pays to be enthusiastic because then nothing will ever get you down. You never lose. If you just embrace it as a principle of always being enthusiastic to please Srila Prabhupada, then nothing will ever bother you. The worst disaster could happen. You wouldn't lose your enthusiasm, you see. The worst disaster could happen. And you would still maintain your enthusiasm. Okay? All right, next. Let's see, this gentleman in the back. You can amplify for me.
So far he's explained his only thing he knows is that he has a body,
okay,
a mind, he can perceive his thoughts, and in the at night he has activity in the subtle body.
Okay, all right.
In the night I go to sleep, I have my own world still there. I have a subtle body going on.
Right, right.
I'm still there that I am alive.
Okay. So what's the question?
But when I get up from the sleep, I feel more rejuvenated. I feel more energetic.
You feel more what?
Rejuvenated.
Rejuvenated, okay.
So what is it that is bringing this difference between this kind of currently what I'm current state and when I go to sleep, where I know still my thoughts are alive, I am alive. So what is it that is bringing the relaxation when I go to sleep and come back?
What's bringing... So
relaxation,
and more peaceful than all those things.
You're more peaceful in your sleep.
Yeah. When I come back, what is it that is bringing this?
When he comes back, when he rises from sleep, he feels more peaceful.
Oh, when you wake up in the morning, you feel more peaceful.
Yes.
You want to know why?
I don't know why.
I'll tell you why.
What is it that is?
It's the different modes of nature. The early morning time after rising is the most peaceful time of the day. That's why we in Krishna consciousness we rise early before the sun rises. Of course, it's pretty easy here; the sun came late, but you know we always rise early. I like to get up by 2:30 or 3 because that early morning is very, very peaceful. There's different modes of nature at different times of the day. The early morning hours or the sattvic time where it's very peaceful. Once the day's activities begin, it's rajagun. It's very active. Go here, go there, do this, do that. Make money, spend money. It's called rajasic, mode of passion. Then in the evening time, people just want to take liquor, you know, go to some movie, go to a brothel, something like that, in cinema. It's the mode of ignorance. So the early morning hours are the most peaceful time. That's nature's way. So therefore, one should utilize the early morning hours for chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. One naturally feels peaceful early in the morning. Even one popular songwriter, he wrote a song called, he says, that's the time we love the best, the early morning. He wrote, yellow is the color of the sparkling corn in the morning when we rise. That's the time we like the best. You know, it's a common thing. It's very common that anyone who has a little sensitivity finds that early morning to be a very special time of the day. So what you have to do is utilize that for its purpose, which is to become God conscious. Don't just get up and feel peaceful. Offer your peacefulness to the Lord. Don't just enjoy the peacefulness. Then you're not getting off the egoistic platform. When you get up and you feel that peace, then say, now let me offer this wonderful feeling to the Lord by meditating on His holy names. You see. If you'll do that, then you can actually capture that mood of peace and maintain it through the whole day by that contact with the name. You understand my point? Does that help you in any way?
I was more looking towards when I go to sleep, not only in the morning, and right now I go to sleep, I come back after a couple of hours, I feel more energetic and more relaxed. So there's something in me.
It's okay. So you're getting detached from your bodily situation for some time, you feel better. I understand. So just imagine, that's only going into your subtle body. You're getting not much rejuvenation. Even at any time of the day you take a nap. Okay. But just imagine if you go to take a step further and go even beyond the subtle body, how much more rejuvenated you'll feel. And so you get into your spiritual body. And that's where Krishna consciousness will take you. You see, you can go into philosophy and poetry and get it to the subtle body, even in your waking state. But if you go into a meditative state by chanting the holy names of the Lord, you're going even beyond the subtle body. You're going to get 100 times more rejuvenation from doing that. So you can get that rejuvenation without even going to sleep, you see. Sleep will take you to the subtle body, but chanting will take you even in your waking state. You can chant Hare Krishna. That will take you beyond your subtle body, which will give you even more rejuvenation than your subtle body rejuvenation. You understand? So kindly chant Hare Krishna regularly, and then you can get even more rejuvenated than your sleep. That's why the yogis, they give up sleeping. Why great devotees, they minimize sleeping. They find sleeping to be death. They're more interested in chanting in the waking state than they are in going to sleep, because they feel more rejuvenation from chanting in a waking state than the rejuvenation you're feeling by sleeping. You understand? Okay, very good. Okay, how much do we got? Yes.
When we chant, we associate with Krishna. So, what is the nature of this association? How should we associate with the Lord while chanting?
How should we associate with him while chanting? In the mood of a small child crying for the mother. You're calling out to Krishna to save you, to engage you in his service. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. My dear Lord Krishna, my dear Mother Radharani, my dear Father Krishna, please save me from this dreadful material existence. Please engage me in your devotional service. Please and please, please engage me. Just begging, 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 like that. Chanting is one of the nine types of devotional service mentioned by Bhakta Prahlad. By hearing about Krishna, that is called devotional service. By chanting, that is devotional service. By remembering Krishna, that is devotional service. By praying, that is devotional service. And then active service, offering everything to the Lord. There are nine different ways of serving Krishna, and chanting is one of them. The chanting is very important thing. Not just doing things physically, but you have to engage your tongue in vibrating the name of the Lord. Otherwise, you'll do things for your own sense gratification. But by chanting, you can put yourself in the bhakti mood where you can do things for Krishna's pleasure instead of your pleasure. That chanting puts you in the right mood so you can serve all day in a selfless mood of offering the result of your work to Krishna. But without chanting, if you try to do service in a selfless mood, you won't be able to do it. Because we're very selfish. We've been programmed by the material nature to be selfish beasts for thousands and millions of lifetimes. We're very selfish people. That's the reality. So this chanting puts you into a mood of offering to Krishna. So you need to chant and do service, not just do service. Well, now one devotee, he was very eager to do service, but he would never chant his round, you see. He refused to chant japa. He had no taste, so he wouldn't do it. He liked to do service. He had no taste for chanting japa. He's in a very dangerous position. He can fall at any time. The one who chants and does service, you see, he's very solidly situated in Krishna consciousness. Any questions from this side? Okay, your turn.
What is the importance of performing Yuga Dharma stage, like congregation chanting of the holy name?
What is the purpose? The purpose? Importance. What is the importance of doing the Yuga Dharma, the congregational chanting of the holy name? That congregational chanting is necessary because we are social creatures. We, just like birds fly together as a flock, we human beings also have that flocking tendency. If we don't flock with devotees, we will flock with non-devotees. So we have to flock together and chant together in the Sankirtan. That then our desire for company, for association, will be gratified in a transcendental way. Just chanting on your own, we're not so pure, we can just go chant on our own. I'm just going to go to the forest and chant. We're not so pure. Our mind will think about sex life and sense gratification and money, you see. We require to come together and sing in congregation. That's the Yuga Dharma, because that's the only thing that has sufficient power to pull us out of this false egotism, this greed, this envy, this anger, this lust, this pride, the envy. It's the only thing that can pull us out of it is this Nama Sankirtan congregationally chanted.
Shall we sing Mahamantra?
What do you think?
I don't know.
Why do you ask such a question? Can we sing it?
Because someone may have other questions before we sing Mahamantra.
If we're doing it, we sing every day, and you're asking, can we do it?
No, today.
Huh?
No, today can we sing Mahamantra.
Oh, have a kirtan now. You're saying a practical thing. Can we have a kirtan now? Okay, it wasn't a philosophical question. Is it okay to chant, to sing Hare Krishna? Okay. we're having a philosophy session right now. Okay.
Prabhuji, you gave this very nice instruction from Srila Prabhupada to feel Krishna's presence when we are chanting.
Yeah.
So different things we feel differently, like we can feel the heat with our sense of touch.
The what?
We can feel heat with our
heat?
Sense of touch.
Okay.
So how we feel Krishna's presence?
It's pretty mystical, you know. How do you feel Krishna's? That's a very profound question. How does one then feel Krishna's presence? Well, the first thing is you have to acknowledge that he's present. On the faith, by putting our faith in Prabhupada, we have to acknowledge that he is present. And that's the first thing. And then you have to chant with love. Just imagine, say, okay, I know he's present, so if he were present, how would I chant his name? If Krishna was actually here, how would I call his name? Well, I just say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. If Krishna was actually present, how would I... I'm speaking to Krishna when I chant his name. I'm asking him to engage me in service. If he's actually present, how will I address him? In what mood will I address him? We have to analyze it intelligently. So the real point is this, that to whatever extent we actually put ourselves in the mood of speaking to him as if he's actually present, you know, actually grateful that he's present and actually calling him out to him for the mercy of being engaged in service, to whatever extent we do that, we will feel his presence. How much love you can put into your chanting? With how much love can you call it? Can you call his name? You see? To that extent, you will feel his presence. So we have to, even though we don't feel his presence, we have to acknowledge that he is present. And if he was present, how would I speak to him? And we have to put ourselves into that mood of devotion. And to whatever extent we're able to do that, we will feel his presence. So the good news is, for us poor souls who don't have any feeling of devotion in our hearts at all, the good news is, by practice, daily practice, we can gradually develop that mood in our chanting. Day after day, week after week, year after year, if we try to develop that mood of calling out to the Lord in the mood of devotion, gradually it will develop, because it's already there within the heart. We already have pure bhakti within our hearts. It's simply buried under all this lust, anger, greed, madness, pride, and envy. It's just buried, that's all. So the more we chant, gradually, all that dirt will be washed away. And the natural feeling of love, that ability to feel Krishna's presence, will actually become manifest. So it looks, I guess we can cut off, probably a few more minutes. About 8 o'clock, we finish, like that was, okay.
Prabhuji, Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day is approaching. So what is the mood in which this festival is celebrated?
Tears. That's the actual mood. It's a mood of... Prabhupada said it's the duty of the disciple to cry when the spiritual master departs. So the more we can feel that mood of feeling the anguish of being separated from Prabhupada, that's the proper mood. That in Prabhupada, what's the proof of what I just said? The proof is Prabhupada instructed us to sing that song Jai Anilo Prima Dhanna on the disappearance day of the great Acharyas. That is the mood. And what is the mood of Narottam Das Thakur in that song? He's saying, I will break my head against the stone, feeling the anguish of the Lord's separation. So that's the mood of Prabhupada. Of course, it'll be a joyous day, singing and dancing and feasting and glorifying Srila Prabhupada. But in our hearts, we should try to cultivate that mood, of like in that same mood as in the song of Narottam that Prabhupada told us we should sing on this day. That song must be sung. It was Prabhupada's order to sing this on disappearance days. I think you all must be doing that. Sometimes I've been to temples where they forgot to do it and I had to remind them, but I know you're very together here. You must be doing Jayanilo Prabhadana. But that's the standard. The mood, Jayanilo Prabhadana, is the mood of how to celebrate the separation from Srila Prabhupada. You say, well, that doesn't sound very joyous, but no, you don't understand the science. The more you can feel the anguish of separation, the more you actually feel the presence of that great Acharya. That's why Krishna left Vrindavan, because he wanted to increase the ecstasy in the hearts of the gopis. So he externally plunged them into great anguish of separation, but actually internally multiplied or amplified the ecstasy of their love of God millions and billions of times by leaving Vrindavan, externally leaving Vrindavan. So when the great Acharya departs, actually he's blessing us that we can now feel his presence even more. So it's a day of actually coming closer to Srila Prabhupada. By feeling that pain of separation, we come closer and closer to Srila Prabhupada. You can read right there in the Bhagavatam, the disciple's duty is to cry when his spiritual master departs. It's not so easy now, but when the actual disappearance day happened, everybody was crying. All the sannyasis were crying. Everybody was crying like babies on that day when Prabhupada left. We were crying. We were all crying tears. Big, big sannyasis, GBCs, they were crying like babies. We were all crying like babies that day. So that's the actual mood. So that's why if we can sing that song with great feeling, Jayanilo Prema Dana Kadana Prachu, if we can sing that with great feeling, it's very important. The whole day revolves around singing that song with great feeling. Okay, maybe one more question, then we'll call it quits. Okay?
Prabhuji, you were saying how Srila Prabhupada is still present.
Mm.
So, many times there are memories of the times when Prabhupada was on the planet that everything was very enthusiastic. So, how can we increase this, be enthusiastic like back then?
That's a great question. Like those kind of questions. How to feel, how to make ISKCON in the same mood now as it was when Prabhupada was here. It's very simple, Prabhu. We just have to, you know, keep doing what Prabhupada said, because the spiritual master is present in his orders. We have to keep distributing books. We have to keep doing Harinam. We have to follow his instructions. Now they want to change. Some devotees want to change it, you know, or modernize it, you know. They want to adjust ISKCON to be up with the modernization, you know, the feminism and gay marriages. They want to make ISKCON more modern, you see. That will just kill everything. Truly kill it. We have to keep whatever Prabhupada gave us, have full faith in everything that Prabhupada gave us. Even if the whole world thinks we're crazy, we don't care. You see? I mean, you people aren't in favor of gay marriage, you see? They may say, you're really weird, you know? You're no good. You're not in favor of gay marriage. Prabhupada was not in favor of gay marriage. He said, man-to-man marriage. It was a shocking, dirty thing. Man-to-man marriage, you see? So we should keep our faith. And just like Prabhupada said, every woman should be addressed as mother. Now some of the ladies are saying, no, you don't call us Mataji anymore. There's some of the senior ladies made a big thing out of it. But Prabhupada ordered me directly to call every woman mother. So, you know, if we stick to the orders that Prabhupada gave us and not try to change it and modernize it, we have to stick to that. Actually, I made a little song about it one time. Give me that old time, it's kind. Give me that old time, it's kind. Give me that old time, it's kind. It's good enough for me. It was good enough for Prabhupada. It was good enough for Prabhupada. It was good enough for Prabhupada. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time, it's kind. Give me that old time, it's kind. Give me that old time, it's kind. It's good enough for me. Well, I think on such a bright note, we can probably end here, I think. So I thank you all very much. I like coming here because I feel like it's the old time ISKCON when I come to ISKCON Helsinki. So thank you all very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Rajavidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna.